17th chapter of the book of Genesis. And if we look at verse number 3, I believe it is. No, it's verse number 1. Remember we read, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and so forth. And if you notice, there's a correlation between this scripture and the songs we sang. Okay, good, good. This evening, we're going to continue with our summer routine. Our summer routine is to have men from the congregation share with us some devotional thoughts. Dominic will be with us again this evening. And Dominic, it's yours.
Thanks, Phil.
Well, hello there. This was a quote from a website, and it goes like this, quote, can it really be true? America and Bible prophecy. Absolutely. When you think about it, it makes sense that the most powerful and influential nation on earth will play a vital role in the final stunning events of the world's closing history. But even more surprises await you as the Bible reveals how the leading nation of the world came to exist and why. Please read Revelation 13, 11 through 18, because these 8 verses give a prophetic picture of America in the days ahead, unquote. Have you ever read Revelation 13, 11 through 18? Now, you get a lot of the stuff on the website that believe that America is definitely named in prophecy. And that goes along with our title from last week. We started this thing last week, Is America in Bible Prophecy? Now, we started off last week with Jeremiah 18, where God said he would change his mind about blessing a nation that disobeys his word and does evil in his sight, just like America has been doing for the last 70 years. And also in Jeremiah 9, he says, shall my soul be avenged on such a nation as this. Now, we know that God is the king of nation, and he tells about nation after nation in the Old Testament about how he deals with nations. Now, we know that mostly the Old Testament deals with nations and New Testament deals primarily with individuals. And we said in Isaiah 40, God's estimation of nations, Isaiah 40, verse 15 and verse 17, you can read that later. Now, we know that there are people who are intellectuals, who are smarter than God. And no matter what God says in his word, they know better. And that's why we don't have the same kind of response. Everybody's different in their interpretation of Bible prophecy. Is the United States in Bible prophecy? Now, the first thing we said, just a quick reminder before we actually get into the lesson. The one thing we need to know about the future of this country is that all future of history is fixed and certain. All future of history is fixed and certain. Why do I believe that and why it's true is because of dispensations. Dispensations are a period of time where God works with different people different ways, all the way from the start of Adam and Eve right up through eternity. There are 7 to 9 dispensations, however you want to divide them, that the Lord works in different ways in different people. He didn't work with people in the Old Testament like he works with people in the New Testament. We have the age of conscience, the age of innocence, the patriarchs, the law, then the church comes along, then we have the rapture, the tribulation, right? Millennium, and finally eternity. And God works in different ways in each segment. And one thing to note about all those dispensations, they all end the same way, in apostasy and degeneration, or as some people call it, the law of human collapse. So they start off well. Every dispensation starts off well, but they end bad. And we went through all this last week as far as going through Old Testament stuff. So the point is that man is a complete failure. He's a flop. And during Old Testament times, what did they have? They had a lot of wars and fighting. They could never solve their problems, 4,000 years. And in fact, even today, up to today, we have the same problems we had for 6,000 years. Man cannot solve their problem because it's a spiritual issue. And you say, well, we have the League of Nations. Well, the League of Nations was disbanded in 1933. Then what came along? The United Nations. The United Nations, 191 countries in the United Nations for the purpose of having peace and doing as much as they can to stop wars. You know how many wars have been started since 1945 when the United Nations began? 177. Great organization for stopping wars, aren't they? Great peacekeeping unit. Man is a failure. They need to be spiritually born again. They're born wrong the first time. You're not going to solve the problems. Man is not going to solve the problems of fighting. He's not going to solve the problems of war. He's not going to solve the nation's problems until Jesus Christ comes back. There are going to be pockets of revival here and there. But the time is set and certain for this nation. So we see that every nation ends in apostasy. The Old Testament ran time and time again. They were going against God. They were rebellious against God's law, right? The Israelites, we all know that. And finally, God had to send a Gentile king, Nebuchadnezzar. That's when the times of the Gentiles began and put them into captivity. Even when they got out of 70 years of captivity, it never got any better. And God shut his mouth for 400 years. New Testament came. We went through this last week. New Testament came. Jesus Christ came along. They crucified him. Finally, the church begins in the book of Acts. Great beginning. Thousands come to Christ. Thousands are saved. Boy, what a book that book of Acts is. Here we are 2,000 years later. And you find remnants of what that early church was here and there. Here and there. So many variations of that early church and so many variations of Christ's true church, you couldn't tell it apart. You can't tell a true church today. I told you last week, you're very fortunate to attend a church like this with the kind of pastor that preaches the Word of God. Very rare today. And they're going down a lot more faster than we realize. So that's what happened there. And we talked about leaders coming. There were some good leaders that came in. America started off great. We had great leaders, started off as a Christian nation. Eventually, it started tapering off again. And when eventually a good leader will come along, like Ronald Reagan. I believe a good leader like Donald Trump is here because God wanted to spare us. He gave us a little more time to do what's right. But the inevitable is going to happen. Now, they may do their best to accomplish some things and do what's right by their country. But inevitably, this nation is going to be part of a one-world global system someday. Next thing we learned last week was about the future of this nation, that before God wipes out a country, he always gives its people plenty of warning before it happens. And we said that, or at least I said, that this book is more than a religious book. It's a history book. And so how do I know that God gives us warning? Because it says so. Time and time again, he gives countries warning before he wiped it out in the Old Testament. It's a history book. If you look back on the history, we see all the history come forward. And it's a history not only of the past, but it's a history before it takes place. There's no other book like this. You know, they call Muhammad the prophet. Anybody ever know what kind, one prophecy that he ever made? I don't know of any. But he's the prophet Muhammad. This book, you can't compare this book to any other book in the world. So we have a history book, folks, that shows us exactly what happens to a nation that's been living like America. Now turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. And this is just a reminder of, the pastor's gone through this chapter. Chapter 12, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. Did he ever say that to any other nation or any other person? I don't think he has. So through Abraham and through Israel, every other family of the earth will be blessed. No other person or no other nation has he ever said that to. But that's not all. Turn over to Genesis 18. Verse 17, Genesis 18, verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Watch it now, verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in him. No, where did it say that? It said that in Genesis 12. Not only the families of the earth will be blessed in him, all the what? All the nations of the earth. Does that include America? Well, how do you know? How do you know it's all America is going to be involved in that? All the nations. Thank you. Yeah, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He didn't say that to anybody else, folks. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel. This is the great nation. I told you last week. I'm a patriot. I'm a veteran. I love this nation, but it's not the greatest nation biblically. Greatest nation, according to the word of God, is Israel. Now, Bob Jones Sr. used to say this, quote, God won't take from America what he will take from other nations because this nation was started with God. God started this nation. You know, those pilgrims that came over on the Mayflower in the 1600s came over with the Geneva Bible. The Geneva Bible was the forerunner of the King James. In fact, one of the crew members even had a King James Bible brought over to America. Did you know the King James Bible was the first English Bible ever printed in America? And was officially recommended by Congress, quote, to the inhabitants of the United States, unquote. When's the last time Congress ever recommended any Bible, much less the King James, to the citizens of the United States? Now, the Catholic Church takes credit for taking control of this nation when it first started. But that's not true. God Almighty has given this nation more tracts, more Bible-believing churches, more Bibles, more Christian radio stations, more Christian schools than any other nation on the face of the earth. Do you think the Lord's going to put up with a people that trample all that over and live like the devil? He didn't do it with Israel. What makes us think he's going to do it with America? Luke 12:48 says, for unto whomsoever much is given, what? Of him shall much be required. They've got a lot to answer to. So I believe the future of this country, like America, is absolutely fixed, and we can read about it in Romans 1. Turn to Romans 1, please. Romans 1, you know about Romans 1. We're not going to go through the whole thing. This group of people here became fools through education and started messing with evolution. Look what it says in Romans 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These are people that know better than God. These are people who know better than God's word. We got a whole country full of them today. But that's not all. Look what it says in verse 25. These are people who change the truth of God into a lie. Now, why did I go that slow? Because most new versions say exchange the truth of God for a lie. No. They actually took what God said and changed it so that God didn't say what he said anymore. They made a lawyer out of God. And they did this over 323 times in the New Bible perversions since 1880. Made a lawyer out of God. That's what they did. They changed the truth of God for a lie. And there's over 323 versions. And I believe from that 1880s is the time America started to go downhill. You mess with God's word, he's going to mess with you. You don't mess with Israel. Yes. Going to be related to who? I don't know. Good question. Anybody know the answer to that? It's a good question. Probably. I would think it has something to do with it.
Well,
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And there's more versions coming out all the time. You stick to your King James Bible. And so you know where it's gotten this country? Come down to verse 28. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what kind of mind? A reprobate mind. That means abandoned to sin and error, rejected. God messes with your mind, you mess with his book. And yet God also said that a nation that commits such things, you look at all the things that come on, verse 29 and 30, what happens when they get a reprobate mind? Look at all those sins. And finally, verse 32 says, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Serious stuff, folks. It's not just another version of the Bible. Now, God may have mercy on a nation, on this nation, or any nation in this age of grace. And he may be long-suffering and show a lot of grace, but the sentence is still coming. Execution is coming. Now, we know, what's the next event on God's calendar? Next event we have is the rapture. That's the next event, isn't it? I think so. Rapture, what's after the rapture? Tribulation, millennium, eternity. Those are all set. All that future is all set. It's going to happen. But what happens for this nation before we get to that part could go either way, depends on our response. That's what I believe. Now, the rise and fall of nations depends on one decision and one decision only, and it hasn't failed yet. The rise and fall of a nation depends on what it does with this book. That's what I believe. When a nation picks up a book and opens the book and starts reading the book and believes the book and puts it into practice, I believe God blesses that nation. If I were to ask you, was America ever blessed by God, what would you tell me? Yes, then it was because of that book, because of this book. But when a nation drops that book and substitutes newspapers and magazines and trashy novels and TVs and PCs and iPads and U-pads and ear pads, that nation's going to start going downhill. That's what happened to Israel. Those kings were commanded to hand print or hand write a copy of the first five books of Moses, the Torah, and to read it to the people daily. They didn't do that. And eventually the beginning of the end began to happen. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar came in and tore up the place. Now, I believe, got to rush, five more minutes. I believe there are two verses in the Bible, folks, that sum up what every individual and nation faces in regards to what God has said. And one's in the Old Testament and one's in the New Testament. So on one hand, you turn to Exodus 9, and on the other hand, Acts 28. We'll go to Exodus 9 first. Anybody knows what happens in Exodus 9? Exodus, this part of Exodus, Moses is going before Pharaoh to try to free his people. They're under Pharaoh right now. This is the eighth sign, or the 10 plagues. And he goes before Pharaoh, and we'll pick up verse 18, Exodus 9:18. And he says, behold, tomorrow about this time, this is God through Moses telling Pharaoh, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather the cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. Well, what did they have to do? Those people he's telling this to. They had a decision to make. Either they believed it or they didn't believe it. Verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Look at verse 21. And he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And if you know anything about what happened, God did exactly what he said he would do. All right, come over to Acts 28. Yeah, Acts 28. This is about... Um, This is about Paul. Acts 28, and we'll pick up at, 24. They said to Paul, verse 20, "For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." And they said unto him, "We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee." Verse 22, "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest." We want to know what you think, Paul. "For as concerning this sect," this new religion that's come upon the Christians, "we know that everywhere it is spoken against." Verse 23, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Look at verse 24. "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." That's always the issue. What God says in this book, do we believe every word of it? Do people believe every word? Does our government believe every word of this book when God tells them things? That's the issue. It's always the issue. And so what I believe is that America has gone against this book. So the Lord allows the Mexican drug cartels and the Muslim refugees and the foreign troops to come in and wreak havoc on this country with the intent of eventually taking it over. And I believe these are just the first birth pangs of what's about to happen to this nation unless we do something about the reprieve that God gave us on November 8th of last year. I believe that. All right, one more thing and we'll be finished there. You say, well, what do we do about it all? If you read Zechariah 12 and Revelation 19, it tells you all about the nations that come against Israel in the Battle of Armageddon. You know about the Battle of Armageddon. All the nations come against Jerusalem. All the nations. Now, that word nations with an S means every nation that's not Jewish. Israel is not included in those nations, but everyone else is. So they all come against Jerusalem. So what do we do? Well, profession isn't worth much without action. It really means nothing without action. We can do one thing. Our last verse is in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Now, this is the part, chapter 8, this is the part where the Jews have had enough of judges coming to rule over them. And they come out to Samuel and said, "Look, we're sick of these judges. We want a king just like the other nations." Because his sons, weren't walking the way they should walk, Samuel's sons. Look at verse 3, chapter 8, verse 3. Samuel's sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel. Verse 5, and said to him, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing, verse 6, displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected" who? "Me, that I should not reign over them. So according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherefore they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee." Verse 9, there it is. "Now therefore, Samuel, hearken unto their voice," listen to them. They want a king, give them a king. "Yet protest." You know that Samuel was the first Protestant in the Bible? "Protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." In other words, tell them what this king's going to do to them. And the rest of that chapter, he tells about what this king's, how this king's going to do. He's going to be one of the worst kings ever. Verse 19, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us." That's the choice they made. So what can we do? We can protest. You don't have to sit back and keep your mouth shut. You can tell people what God thinks about what's going on in this country. Now, you know, you got an opportunity. You have opportunities that I don't have. You can come up to people. They'll tell you all the solutions to the country. Listen, we know the solution. And if we keep our mouth shut, it's not going to help anybody. We got to talk to people just like they talk to us because they think they know everything. They got all the answers. I think this, and I think this, and I suppose that, and I, you know, this and that. All speculation. The answer, we know what the answer is. That's what good will that do, you say? Well, you'll let them know we're not going to be part of all this evil that's going on. That's what John the Baptist did. Remember, John the Baptist went before Herod? The king. He wasn't intimidated at all, King Herod. And he goes before him and reads him the riot act. He says, Herod, it's unlawful for you to marry your brother's wife. He said, yeah, look what happened to him. He had his head chopped off. Yeah, but you know, that act got a commendation out of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11:11, calling him what? The greatest man who ever lived. So 2,000 years later, they're both dead. One's in hell, burning in hell for 2,000 years. The other one's in heaven, waiting for the reign of Christ to happen so he can reign with them. Who got the better of that deal? So what can we do? We can protest. Not protest in a harsh way. I don't mean talking about that. I'm just talking about saying something when the opportunity comes. We as Christians, a lot of times we just sit back and let the world just say anything they want, and they don't, you know, we got to listen to them. Let them listen to us for a minute. We got the truth. We've got the truth. Now let's pray. Our Father, we just are so thankful for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that your answers are always found in that book. We pray, Father, for our country, for President Trump and all his staff. Watch over them, take care of them, help them to do your work on this earth. Help us, Lord, as Christians, your people, to be the kind of people that would stick up not only for Trump but more for you, because we do know your truth. Help us to be a protester in the sense of protesting what's going on in this country, all the evil, the sin. And that you would give us an extension before your wrath happens. And we thank you for all these things. In Christ's name, amen.